He's had us nervous. He's had us scared. He was supposed to die 3 months ago. Because 5 months ago, he was told he had 2 months to live. And some of you have heard the story. Maybe he's going to tell some of that story today. I don't know. But what I know is that he's alive and well. There are other challenges in his life, as there are in all of ours, and until we get home. But Dwayne has been serving us now for most all those 29 years. He's an overseer to us. His gifting is the ability to plant churches and multiply churches and oversee churches. He oversees 9 churches right now. Many of you know the story. When we were seeking the Lord, please tell us who your choice is, Lord, for us. God gave us a verifiable miracle to confirm the choice of Dwayne Fleming. And this last weekend is one more example that he's not doing it for the convenience of it or for the thrill of it. His wife is suffering from Alzheimer's. She's deteriorating. And so he can't just take off easily. And so he drove his wife to St. Louis, where she's cared for by her sister, so he can be with us. And he drove through some of that snow and ice to get here to be with us in person. This is a man who's not doing this for the fun of it, for the interest of it. He's a father to us, and he acts like it, and he serves like it. And you're just a gift to me, Dwayne. And with all my heart, I appreciate you, and I welcome you to the platform today. God bless you. Let's welcome him.
Thank you so much. And thank you to those of you that prayed for me. I know a number of you did. And I'm here. And as John said, I'm alive. And I have a voice, even though it's different than it was before. A part of that is because my left vocal cord is paralyzed. When they did the thyroid surgery, they removed my thyroid. The left vocal cord was, they said, completely encased in cancer, and they had to remove that as well. And so this is how I'll sound. I think my voice kind of, it raised a few notes. And it just sounds like I've got a sore throat kind of all the time. But when I went into that surgery, the first specialist, as John mentioned, first specialist told me I've treated over 6,000 patients with thyroid cancer. And after he examined me and looked at the scans and so on, he said... He didn't have the gift of encouragement. He said, you know, it's one of the worst cases I've ever seen. And I think you have about 2 months. But God had a different plan. And so praise God. They told me before surgery that I probably would have a trach when I came out. And they might have to remove my voice box completely. But the doctors were amazed when I came out of the surgery. They told my family, they said, and they used the word, it was amazing. The cancer just seemed to peel off. It was wrapped around my carotid artery, my jugular vein, and they said it just seemed to come off and peel off. And I just received word from the doctor, actually it was just a week ago Friday, they said that the thyroid cancer, and they did scans on my entire body. They couldn't find it anywhere in my body at all. So, praise God. Yeah. God is good. Is this water for me? Or was this somebody else? Even if it's somebody else's, I guess I'll need to have, you know, one of the worst things is a dry preacher, right? Anyway. Well, good morning. It's absolutely wonderful to be with you today. And I think it's been over 2 years, or approximately about 2 years, since I was with you last. The last time I was here is before COVID. Can anybody remember what life was like before COVID? when you didn't have to wear a mask and your glasses didn't steam up and all of that. But the last time I was here, so since then, you've redone the stage, you've redone the floor, and I understand the lights are brand new this week, and the building looks absolutely beautiful. And it's so good to see. As I look out, I recognize a number of you. I'd probably recognize more if you didn't have your mask on, but please keep it on. But I also see a number of new faces, and that thrills me. And I just I'm glad to meet you. It's so good to be here. It really is. I have spoken to the church, I think, a couple of times via whatever you call it, video, projection, whatever you call it. Anyway, but it's so good to be with you in person today. And I do believe God has given me a word for you today. I just want to title this, Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. In January of 1933, and yes, that was before I was born. But in January of 1933, shortly before Hitler came to power in Germany, a young pastor by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer preached a sermon on overcoming fear. It was a great time of tension in Germany. Why there was widespread fear. Germany's fragile democratic government was just tottering there after World War I. There was fear of economic collapse. There was fear of communism. There was open fighting in the streets of Berlin and other major cities. In the midst of that storm, Dietrich Bonhoeffer stood and addressed his congregation. And he, of course, was no more certain of the future than anyone else. But he was sure of one thing, and that is that the followers of Jesus Christ need not fear. And so he took his text from Matthew 8, and that's where I'm going to start this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, turn there. I believe we have that text on the projection system as well. Matthew 8, starting with verse 23. This is speaking of Jesus and his disciples. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without a warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and they woke him up. They said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. I've had the privilege of going to the Holy Land a few years back. And the Sea of Galilee, of course, it's Israel's largest freshwater lake. It's in a valley, actually called the Rift Valley. It's surrounded by hills. And apparently that sea can, sudden storms can come up on that sea. Pretty violent storms. Interestingly, these disciples, many of them had spent most of their life on the Sea of Galilee. They were commercial fishermen, several of them. So without a doubt, they'd been on the Sea of Galilee in previous storms. There must have been something about that storm that was just more violent than almost any other storm they'd ever encountered. And so that day, they were frightened. I don't know if you've ever seen someone, and I think probably all of us, we've seen children terrified. What's even more frightening is to see an adult that's terrified. The eyes that stare, and the shaking. Have you ever, men? Maybe some of you felt that fear to such an extent that you literally trembled. I know I have. And these disciples are begging Jesus. They're waking him up. They're literally begging him because they're staring death in the face. They're saying, Lord, wake up. Interestingly, his first response is not to quiet the storm. His very first response is to say, oh, you of little faith. Why are you guys so afraid? Now, it's pretty obvious why they're afraid, right? I mean, it's like, come on, Jesus. Why am I afraid? I'm looking death in the face. I've never seen this before. This is really, really scary. But Jesus is basically telling them to get a grip on their faith, so they can let go of their fear. Now, he's not saying if their faith was stronger that they wouldn't face any storms. But he's saying if your faith is stronger, you're going to be able to let go of fear. Okay? In 1 John 4:18, the scripture says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. How many can say amen to that? Have you ever felt literally tormented by fear? Well, I have. In the last few months, I absolutely have felt tormented by fear at times. Now, it goes on to say, he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And so I would say to you this morning, you're looking at a man who has still not been made perfect in love. You're looking at a man who is still on a journey. I believe the best sermons and teachings are not just when the preacher stands up and tells the people what they already know and are convinced of, and they can all say, amen. Now, that's good once in a while to hear that or be reminded of that. But I really believe the best sermons are when the preacher invites you into the discovery process where he or she themselves are processing and growing and learning. And so that's what I invite you into with me today. Now, here's the thing that I see. The stronger your grip on God's love for you, the easier it will be for you to let go of fear. I want to say that again. The stronger your grip on God's love for you, the easier it is to let go of the fear that is gripping you. Consider this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I believe we have the quote. Do we have that quote up here? In that sermon that Dietrich Bonhoeffer preached that day in 1933, this is one of the things he said. Fear is the archenemy itself. It crouches in people's hearts. It hollows out their insides until their resistance and strength are spent and they suddenly break down. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ tells us about God's love for us. I mean, that is really the essence of the gospel message. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. That's the essence of the gospel. And when we become grounded in God's love for us, we know that he is with us in every situation, and that no matter how fierce the storm, no matter how high the waves are, no matter if your boat is about to capsize, God loves you. Are you confident of that? We know the one who overcame fear and leads everyone who places their faith in him to also overcome fear. He is the one who paid the price for our freedom. And he did that because of his great love for us. When Bonhoeffer preached that sermon on overcoming fear, he didn't know about the horrors of World War II that was about to begin. He didn't know that before that war was over, that he and thousands of others like himself would have to give their lives because they would stand against the tyranny of the Nazis. He did not know that over 6 million of his Jewish friends and neighbors would be annihilated in the concentration camps. He didn't know any of that. But he did understand that no matter how violent the storm would get, that Jesus Christ was in the boat with them. And that if they would grow in their faith and become more convinced of God's love for them, they could let go of fear. Listen to what he preached that day. This is a part of what he said. Quote, "So look to Christ when you are afraid. Think of Christ. Keep him before your eyes." In other words, fix your eyes on Jesus. Call upon Christ. Pray to him. Believe that he is with you now, helping you. Then fear will grow pale and fade away, and you will be free. Through your faith in our strong and living Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are thinking, well, okay, how can I grow in that kind of faith? How can I become more convinced of God's love for me? I wish that I could tell you that there was just an easy way to do that. That it was just a matter of memorizing a certain verse of scripture or singing a song or praying a prayer. But I tell you, it usually comes through facing storms. Okay? I had an interesting experience. In 2005, I had the privilege of going to a special pastor's seminar with Pastor Jack Hayford in California. And it was not a large conference. It was actually just 45 of us at this meeting. Some of you have heard of Jack Hayford. Others of you have never heard of him. But he's a well-known pastor, an author. And it was wonderful to get to interact with him on, just through Q&A and all of that. Anyway, at the end the end of that week, the highlight for me of that week actually was what happened the very last evening that we were together. Jack had invited a good friend of his by the name of Dick Mills, who was a prophetic, had a prophetic ministry, to come and minister to us and lay hands on us and pray for us, pastors, if we wanted that. The interesting thing about Dick Mills and how the Holy Spirit tended to flow through him is he would pray for someone, and the Holy Spirit would give him a verse of Scripture. And so he would give that verse of Scripture to you. So they gave the invitation for those who would want to receive ministry, and I wanted to, and so I came up to the front of that gathering, and I remember standing there kind of in line as he was ministering to other people and thinking, wow, I need to hear from the Lord. How many have ever felt that? I want a word from God. I want that. And that's what I was asking for that day. So, he was going down the line and praying for people. I remember one particular person just in front of me, and the word was Isaiah 54:2. That's a wonderful promise. And here's what it says: enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. And I thought, Lord, I think that's for me too. How many have ever had a promise and you said, I want to claim that one too, okay? Well, he gets to me, he prays a little bit, and then he says to me, and he just looks at me with this kind of very, I still remember his eyes and looking at into my, and he said, Hebrews 12:1-2. Hebrews 12:1-2. And then he had someone there. He said, I want to read that out loud. And that was kind of how he would operate. Well, here it is. Hebrews 12:1-2. You know what it says? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I didn't like that. I got to tell you. When I heard those words that night, it was like a chill ran down my spine. I thought, oh God, what kind of a cross am I about to face here? What am I being called on to endure? And like I said, it was just like a chill. I mean, I had some suspicions, but I didn't know the extent of the challenges that I was about to face. And in the next few months, we as a church went through a very challenging time. But as I went back and read and reread and meditated on that portion, what I saw is that I can face anything. Literally, I can face anything if I, what? Fix my eyes on Jesus. And you can too. You can face anything. Any storm. Anything the devil throws at you, you can face that and you can let go of fear, because the more you look and focus on Jesus, the more convinced you will be of his great love for you. He loves you. Oh, my friend, don't ever, ever forget that. See, God told me what to do that day. There were some things I needed to let go of. He says, like a runner preparing for a race, need to let go of things. Sins, various things. The Holy Spirit will show you what that is to let go of. But the most important thing is where your focus is. Where is your focus? Now, did I do it perfectly? No. And in fact, there were many times during that season when I started to focus on the various problems, and instead of looking at Christ, I began to try and figure things out in my own strength. And every time I did, I began to sink in anxiety and fear. It was like the account of Peter. Let's go to Matthew 14 really quick. Most of you probably are familiar with this, but I want to refresh your mind about it. Here is another situation where they're facing a storm. They're in their boat, and it's stormy, but then they see Jesus walking toward them on the water. And at first they're frightened, but then they recognize it's Jesus. And here in verse 28, Peter says, "Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." And he said, and then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water. He came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was what? Afraid. And began to sink. And then he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" Why did you doubt? In the last few months, it was before the doctor ever told me that I only had about 2 months to live. About 10 days before that, one night I woke up in the middle of the night and just felt called to pray. I went downstairs, I began to pray. And I wasn't focused on praying for myself, because at that point I knew there was something they had found, but I didn't think it was really any big deal. And I was praying about many, many things, praying for various individuals. And all of a sudden, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit just said to me, "This sickness is not unto death." And I remember it very well, because I felt like, and I grabbed my prayer journal and I wrote it down, "This sickness is not unto death." Well, good. I'm glad, you know, that point. Well, the day the doctor said I had 2 months to live, honestly, one of the very first things that came to my mind is sickness is not unto death. God had given me a word already, and I held on to that. The next day, or 2 days later, after what the doctor had said, I went and I shared with my men's prayer group that I meet with every Thursday morning about what was going on. And one of the brothers in the group said, "Dwayne, you've got to keep holding on to that, and make sure you keep your focus on God, on Jesus, and what he has told you, because there will be some major wave. You've hit a major wave, but you've got to keep holding on to that, okay? And so it's not like we're to deny the storm. When we're faced with a major storm, and, you know, we don't just say, oh, that's not there, that's not real. No, it's real. It's there. But what are you going to focus on? Are you going to focus on the storm? Or are you going to focus on Jesus and the words that he gives you? In Paul's second letter to Timothy, this is what he said. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So, the fear that we're facing, it's not of the Lord. We know that. But God has given us power. He's given us love. And he's given us a sound mind. One of them, and again, the most important thing is that he has given us the truth about his love for us. If you don't hear anything else this morning, I pray to God that you get a hold of that and that it burns into your conscience, that it will be something that you can hold on to. Now, the one that, of course, gives us a spirit of fear is the father of liars. He's the enemy. He comes to steal our peace, our love, our faith. He comes to intimidate us constantly. He's bent on not only stealing our faith and our joy, but he's bent on ultimately imprisoning us, tormenting us with fear, and then destroying us. That's how he works. Without a doubt, one of Satan's most effective weapons against us is the spirit of fear. And there is, my friend, there is a spirit of fear that can come upon us. Through fear, he paints dreadful pictures of horrible things that might await us in the future. Just as faith is the substance of things hoped for, fear is the substance of things we dread. And don't forget, he's the master deceiver. That's why the thoughts he plants in our minds seem so rational at times. At other times, he plants these thoughts that seem very spiritual, as something that God himself might be speaking to us. But Paul is saying here, if you're gripped with fear, that is not of God, because he does not give us the spirit of fear. Instead, he reminds Timothy and all of us about the gifts that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. And these are the three that he lists here. He says he's given us love, he's given us power, he's given us a sound mind. Remember what we said earlier about how the power of God's love helps us let go of fear. And the same is true about the power of a sound mind, a clear mind. You might say, well, how is it in a practical way that I can fix my eyes on Jesus? Certainly it is through fixing our eyes on what the Word of God says. But it's also something that we do as we are in fellowship one with another. I appreciated the sisters up here that talked about the small group. Brothers and sisters, we need one another. I need you. You need me. We need to speak truth in love to one another. We need to have that kind of fellowship, because it's as I look into your eyes and you look into mine that we see the eyes of Christ. We see God's love for us as it comes through one another. Amen. That'd be a good place to say amen. Okay? Every once in a while, I appreciate that. Let me know if you're still with me, okay? Now, I want to ask you to be completely honest with yourself. What are you afraid of today? I know every one of us, every one of us. If we're completely honest, there are some things that we're afraid of. And we don't like to use that word. We might say, well, I'm concerned. Or I'm a little bit worried. Or we use other softer language. But the truth is, there are some things. It might be health issues. It might be relationship issues. It might be family issues. It might be financial issues. I don't know what it is for you. But I know that there are some things that you're afraid of today. And some of you, and I know because I've heard since I've been here the last couple of days, I've heard some of the stories, and I know some of you are in a storm today. You're being battered by some pretty strong waves. But I am here today to tell you, Jesus is in your boat. He is. Call on him. Fix your eyes on him. Look to him. And when you do, your faith will strengthen and your confidence of his love for you will strengthen. And when it does, you're going to be able to let go of the fear. I'm telling you the truth. You want to be free from fear? You want to be free from fear? Fix your eyes on Jesus. I'm going to ask John is going to come, I believe, and lead us in communion today. And I've asked them if they would sing this beautiful old hymn that has helped me to fix my eyes on Jesus.